Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, where we come to arguably one of the most well-known passages in all the New Testament. It's called the Hebrews Hall of Faith because we get a listing of people who walked by faith. My hope is that as we make our way through this chapter, that what happens is it strengthens every one of us in our faith, because God's heart is that you and I would walk by faith, live by faith. That's the way we please God, Hebrews 11, 6. It's the way we get God's commendation. In fact, it's impossible to walk with God without faith. But it's also my prayer that what we learn would not only motivate you, but would cause you to live in such a way that would keep your faith intact when it's under attack. Faith is absolutely essential. And yet I would suggest that for most people, oftentimes faith is confused with hope. And for many people, they really don't understand faith is a mystery, when in fact, faith should be one of the bedrocks of our Christian walk. Faith, hope, and love, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So what I want to do before we jump into the text, we're going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Before we do that, what I want to do is I want to give you seven statements about faith that will help us frame our understanding of faith. Statement number one, first, you can't be saved without faith. Got to have faith to walk with God, for it is by grace you've been saved. How? Through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So nobody generates faith within themselves. You can't give faith by saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's not how you get faith. Faith is an internal work of God in the heart of a person. Now, I don't have the scriptures for this, but it just comes to my mind, and I want to say this to you so that we're all on the same page. Everybody is given a measure of faith. So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, to every man is given the measure of faith. So somebody can't say, well, I can't believe because I don't have faith. No. Everybody has a measure of faith. Everybody has the possibility of believing God. The issue is, will they or not? Jesus said, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. The idea is you either act on faith, and if you act on faith, your faith gets stronger and increases, or you don't act on faith. You ignore that prompting that comes by the Holy Spirit to act on faith. And if you ignore that, you lose even what you have. But faith is a gift from God. Faith is something God works in our heart. And this is what it says. You're saved by grace through faith. And it's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift to every single person. Number two, you can't receive from the Lord without faith. Now, there's a common grace, so God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. So even unrighteous people are the recipients of God's gracious work in this world. But when it comes to receiving things from God, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith to receive salvation. So you can't even start walking with Jesus without faith. But then all the things you and I would need from the Lord, from then on, all the things we would access, we access by way of prayers, prayed with faith. Look at this. But let him ask in faith. In other words, when you're praying, faith's really critical. With no doubting. See, a lot of people don't have answered prayer because they can't muster enough faith to faithfully pray the prayer. The faith-filled prayer. So busy waffling in their mind while I'm praying, but I don't know whether they're doing any good. It's kind of like a Hail Mary pass, hoping that things work out. Oh, God may do it. That's not faith. Faith says, I'm going to go to the creator of the universe and I'm going to ask him to do something because he is all powerful, he is all knowing, and he loves me and nothing is impossible for him, and I believe he will hear me. If you doubt, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now watch this. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Oh, that's pretty strong. Want to receive from God? Got to pray in faith. Number three, you can't see miracles without faith. What's a miracle? A miracle is when God supernaturally intersects time and space, interrupts it, and does what wouldn't normally happen. Providence is the other working of God, where God takes all things and works them together for our good and his will and his purpose in our life. Both are supernatural, but this is where God intersects time and space and says, this is what would normally happen, but it's not going to normally happen because God's going to decree and do something different. Jesus did not do many miracles in Nazareth because of their lack of faith. On the other hand, two blind men came to see Jesus, and he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. Listen, faith is the way by which you and I receive from God. It's the way by which people are healed, by faith. Number four, faith is based in the invisible realm. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith starts in the invisible realm. This is why Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, 8, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. This is the thing about faith. Faith responds to the unseen. Faith understands the unseen. We're going to see in a moment, faith is the proof of the unseen. So it is based on the invisible realm. And the invisible realm, the invisible realities are actually the greater realities. Look at what he says. For what is seen is temporary. This world's temporary. Your car is temporary. Your home is temporary. Your job is temporary. You're saying, oh, praise God. It's temporary. Your problems are temporary. This world and everything in it will pass away. What is unseen is eternal. There's an unseen world that's a very real world that is as real as the seen world. So what Paul challenges us to do in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 is he says we live by faith, not by sight. Faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. Listen, if you don't understand that about faith, it will be virtually impossible for you to walk by faith. And I would suggest to you, a lot of Christians don't understand what faith is. They simply reduce faith to their ability to be convinced that the Bible's true. And I would suggest to you, if then it all becomes about knowledge and it leaves out the whole aspect of power. And so the confidence to pray for things, to believe God for things, to see things is greatly diminished in the lives of those people. For a lot of people, honestly, and we're going to see it in a moment, faith is really a mental gymnastic of trying to believe rather than accepting what God does in the heart and responding to it and watching God work in response to that. Number five, faith starts from the invisible realm and impacts the visible realm. So faith always starts in the invisible realm. Doesn't start in the physical realm, it starts in the spiritual realm. Jesus gave them this answer because they're saying, what in the world are you doing? You healed a man on the Sabbath. God can't be a part of that. And Jesus says, wait, time out. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. What Jesus saw in the invisible realm, he then carried out in the visible realm. And he's saying this in response to the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. He's saying, listen, I saw it in the invisible realm, and so I brought it into the visible realm. So one Smith Wigglesworth would say, everything we need is in heaven. You got to pray into heaven and get it. You start in the invisible realm, and it makes its way into the visible realm. This is how faith works. Number six, faith comes by hearing the voice of God. This may be one of the most misunderstood verses in all of Romans. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So a lot of people say faith comes by hearing the word of God. Wrong. You say the word of God can't build my faith. Well, it might, but that's not what it says. So let's, you know, that may be true in part or in whole in some ways, but that's not what it says. What it says is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What happens is when you and I are reading the Bible, it sensitizes us to the ways of God, the works of God, the will of God, and the voice of God. So that when I'm reading the word, what happens is it's like it's tuning my life toward the voice of God. And when I hear the voice of God, that is where faith originates. Now, God's voice can be heard through the word of God. I'm not saying that isn't possible, but I'm also saying that if all you hear concerning the voice of God is from the word of God, you're missing a large portion of what God would say to you. Now, some of you are having to think this through. You're like, I don't know. Listen, it's as old as the hymns. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You are all very fortunate. I kind of sort of managed to stay on key, so. Okay. Whatever God calls you to do, so when God is speaking to you, you have to understand when he's speaking to you, if you hear his voice, you respond to that. Here's the thing. There is within the command of God, the word of God, the power to do what he has commanded you to do. Inherent it is that. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. And I really like a more literal translation with that. That's true. But the Greek is, for nothing will be impossible with any rhema from God. Any word from God. Any word you get from God. Rhema. So there's two words for word. There's the logos word, which Jesus is the logos word. He's the rationale. He's the logic behind the universe. So there is the Bible, which is the logos. There is the spoken word, which is the rhema word of God. It's God specifically speaking to you about something, and it's saying nothing will be impossible with any rhema from God. God speaks to you and says, do it, do it. God puts it in your heart to do it, do it. Okay, let me give you an example, because I know for some of you, you're trying to put this together in your mind. So let's talk this building. So in 1997, we have a lease on this 40 acres. We don't own the land. We're getting ready. We've drawn plans for the building. And at this point, people are telling us, you know what? So we hire a fundraiser because we've never done a fundraiser this size. Hire a fundraiser. They come in and they say, oh, there's money in your congregation you don't even know. And I said, well, man, I'd love to hear that, but I don't think that's so. I tell them I don't think that's so. They spend months looking at everything, looking at our records, and they come back and they say, guess what? You're right. There isn't any money in this congregation. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. Building's going to cost between $16 and $20 million. The land is $2 million. We have $700,000. The fundraisers say, best day, birds singing, flowers blooming, sun shining, you're going to raise $2.5 million. Do the math. You're talking about a little over $3 million on a $20 million building. On top of that, if you were alive back then, some of you will feel like we're talking about the covered wagon days, but if you were alive back in those days, in the late 90s, before cell phones, I mean, I don't know, I think they had CDs. Yeah, they did have CDs back then. But they were talking about Y2K, a computer glitch and snafu that was gonna cripple the world and cause an economic collapse that would make the Great Depression look like child's play. I mean, this was, everybody was saying this. Everybody was completely worried about what was gonna happen. So here we are, 1997, and we're gonna do this. Interest rates are about 7.5 to 8%. So, you know, nothing like the low, cheap rates of 6.5% that we're all enjoying. So anyway, everything's a matter of perspective, right? So we're getting ready to do this thing, and I'm just feeling like everybody's, you know, all this talk and everything, we don't have the money, and, you know, don't want to be the guy that's going to get everybody in trouble with trying to build a building we can't afford. So I'm preaching at Brooklyn Tabernacle. It's in the fall. While I'm preaching there, we stay for the Sunday night service. Jim preaches. He gives an invitation for people who really need God to speak to them and to help them. So I go forward. I don't feel anything in the altar. I don't feel one thing. I'm praying. I'm asking God to help me. I'm not feeling like God saying I will. I'm not feeling anything. Get back to our hotel room. I tell Debbie, I'm so disappointed because, you know, this is not like, this is a big thing I need God to speak to me on. The next morning we get up. I can remember sitting on our plane on the tarmac at LaGuardia, and I open my Bible. And the minute I open my Bible, I know I'm different. I just know. You say, what do you mean you're different? I know we're going to build the building, and I have zero reservation about it. I feel like God speaks to me and says to me on the plane, you get home. I want you to drive out on that land. I want you to go right where the podium is going to be, the platform. And I want you to lift your hands and begin to praise me for the building I'm going to build. So, get home. Next morning, I drive out on the land. Traffic's going by on 65 Highway. I'm turning with my back to the traffic. I got my hands raised in the air. For 20 minutes, I worship God and I say, God, I don't know how this building is going to be built. We don't have the money. Everybody says the economy is going to collapse. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're the God that calls things that are not as though they are. And you have said you will build this building. And for that, I will praise you and believe you. And I began to just praise the Lord. You say, what happened? Well, Y2K didn't happen. But what happened is the building cost $16.5 million. With the contractor, we were able to save $3.5 million. It would have cost $20 million. But in addition to that, the people who didn't have any money gave $10 million. And we financed $6 million on a sweetheart deal at the time where they gave us a 7.5% note with no fees, which had been hundreds of thousands of dollars. What I'm saying to you is faith responds to the invisible. It hears the voice of God and says, on the basis of that, I will do it. And God may not ask you to take that kind of step, but I'm just simply suggesting to you that every single one of us have problems where we would benefit from hearing the voice of God and believing that what we heard was true and then doing what he tells us to do so that we could watch him do what only he can do. Are you with me on that? Number 7. Then we're going to jump into this. Through faith, we understand in our spirit before our mind can comprehend. This is what you have to understand. This is what throws most people. Most people are too busy saying, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. And unless God shows me how he's going to do it, I can't take that step. And for you, I say faith is almost impossible. If your rubric for doing life is, I got to figure it out, I got to understand the details, and I have to see how it's going to work out to take a step of faith, you'll never see God do anything huge in your life. And the reason why is because that's not faith. Watch this. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, nobody was there at the beginning of creation. And even if you were, you wouldn't have understood it. We understand first in our heart and then in our head. Now, think about this. You got saved. Why? Because I clearly explained the plan of salvation. It made so much sense to you, and you suddenly understood exactly what you were doing. No. You heard me speak, and something happened in your heart. And you understood in your heart that there was a God who loved you. And you understood that what I was saying was true, and that even though you had a zillion questions, if you just stopped and thought about it, you went ahead and went forward, and you were saved. Do you follow that? The life of faith always starts by responding to what God speaks to your heart. It always starts with what God is doing in your heart, not what God is doing in your head. He may be doing some things in your head that help you along the way, but faith comes out of the heart. Christianity is, I'm not saying it's not a religion of the mind. It certainly has that capacity. We renew our mind, but our heart is where the voice of God speaks. And how we respond to that is absolutely critical. Now, let me just say this. If there's one thing the devil wants to attack in your life and mine, it's our faith. I mean, people say, the devil's attacking my marriage or he's attacking my finances. No, what he's really after is your faith. Are you going to believe God can keep you two together? Are you going to believe that God's going to help you? Are you going to believe God's going to provide for you? Are you going to believe, you know, everything he's attacking is to get at your faith? Why? Because our faith moves mountains. Our faith stirs heaven. Our faith rebukes hell. Our faith brings supernatural answers. Our faith gives us courage. Our faith gives us confidence. Our faith saved us and continues to work in us. So, here's a definition of faith. Faith is a gift from God that comes from hearing his voice and enables a person to believe God's word and his will for their lives. So faith is. You're hearing the voice, it's a gift. You're hearing the invisible. And it's causing you to experience God's work in your visible life, both by as you hear his word and his will. Now, let's pick up Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I mean, my whole introduction just got finished, and I have 10 minutes to preach a sermon. Okay. We're going to do it, though. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we're just going to walk through these verses quickly. Here's the problem for the way this typically is interpreted. And I'm just going to suggest to you that it makes more of hope than it does of faith. And I think neuters faith in the life of people. Because typically, the way this is explained, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the emphasis is on hope, not faith, because here's what people do. They'll say, you know, picture yourself, it's the dead of winter, and you have purchased a vacation, and you're going to go to Cancun, or you're going to go to wherever it is you're going that's warm and nice and toasty, and you're sitting there freezing, but you're looking at the brochure, and that brochure suddenly makes you feel the hope of going to wherever you're going, and all of a sudden, you can hear the waves lapping on the beach. You can feel the warm rays hitting your face. You are drinking your iced tea. You are loving life in your beach chair away from all the cold weather. That's not faith. That's hope. Hope's a wonderful thing, by the way. Hope's a biblical thing. Faith is not a hyper hope. Faith is faith. And the word substance is often translated as assurance or confidence in the NLT or being sure in the NIV. But really, all of those fall short because they essentially leave faith in the realm of merely making you feel good about the things you're hoping for. When faith is much more than that. One commentator by the name of Danker puts it this way. He says, in faith, things hoped for become realized. Now listen, this would be consistent with all of New Testament theology. I mean, think of it this way. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Have faith in God, which really it would be of God. It's in the genitive in the Greek. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now back to the previous slide. So faith, what it is, in faith, things hoped for become realized. It's not like you're just enjoying the hope. It's like you're actually possessing what it is you believed God to do. We read it earlier. Jesus said, as your faith is, be it unto you. People actually received by faith things they were asking God to do. Look at Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So you say, well, he was hoping. He was hoping and believing. He believed and so became the father of many nations. Here's Abraham. He's 99 years old. The Bible says his body good is dead. He can't procreate. His wife Sarah can't procreate. But God says, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to have him in a year. And Abraham believed God. And that's how he became a father. You see, what happens is, in faith, things hoped for become realized. They become a reality. You could say, then, that faith is the means by which we receive and is the confidence we will receive. It's like, I am praying and I'm believing. So when I'm standing there and I'm lifting my hands up and I'm praying for the building, God had done a work in my heart. It was invisible. I couldn't see it. I couldn't measure it. I couldn't put it in a test tube. I couldn't get a tape measure, but it was real in my heart. It changed me, and I said, we're going to do it. Nothing around me changed. We hadn't even done the fundraiser yet. You say, well, that's just plain foolish. Yeah. I think Noah would say something like, yeah, faith looks foolish until it starts to rain. You know, faith can look foolish. And I'm not saying we haven't all seen or heard of people who thought they heard from God and missed the boat. But at the same time, don't be so afraid of believing God and what he speaks to your heart that rather than missing the boat, you miss something great that only God could do. Verse 1. Now, faith, it's the way in which we get things. It's the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word evidence for evidence there is only used one time in the New Testament, and it's used right here. And in secular Greek, in extra-biblical Greek, that word is typically called proof. So you could read it this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. But a lot of translators felt like, well, you know, proof doesn't really make sense. How can you prove something you can't see? And so they said, can't be that. We're gonna say it's the conviction, which really reduces faith to positive thinking. If I can just become convinced, if I can just be convicted, if I can just create a certainty in my mind about it, then I'm gonna have faith. That's not what it's saying, and that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. How is faith the proof of things not seen? Now, bear with me here. I'm gonna make this, y'all are really smart. So I have no trouble believing you can get this, okay? But this will help you understand it. Verse 3 is the illustration of verse 1. Look at it. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand, it comes out of the heart, that the worlds, what are we talking about here? We're not just talking about the universe. Some translations say the universe was formed at God's command. Well, that's the visible world. What we're talking about, when we're talking about worlds, we're talking the visible world and the invisible world. Another way to understand it, though, and actually worlds is a narrow translation even then, it could be the eras, the ages. So we're talking about, by faith, we understand that eternity before time began was framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that eternity after time is no more was framed by the word of God. If we take it as eras, by faith, we understand that the end times were framed by the word of God. If we take it by faith, we understand that the time of the old covenant was framed by the word of God. That was an era. By faith, we understand that our current age, the age of grace, was framed by the word of God. That what God did is God, with his word, framed. He set the parameters. He set the parameters for the physical laws, the moral laws, the spiritual laws. He set the parameters for the time of each era or age, and he knows when time will be no more. Furthermore, we only know those things by faith. How do we know we're in the end times? By faith. The Bible says it, and we believe the Bible, so there's a measure of faith. So by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. They were put together by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made out of the things which are visible. Now, for those who are theologically, some of you would understand this phrase. Theologians, when it comes to the creation of the world, they say it was created ex nihilo, out of nothing. So there was nothing and God spoke and there it was. And a lot of theologians point to that and say, well, that's what this is talking about. I would say that's a secondary meaning, but the primary meaning is we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It tells us what the invisible thing is. God spoke. It happened. Did you see it? No. Did you hear it? No. Do you see God speak to you? When you hear his voice, can you see it? Is it visible or invisible? It's not a trick question. Invisible. When God's, that still small voice is invisible. That time when you know what you know that you know and you don't know how you know, is that visible or invisible? Invisible. What's happening is things which are seen were not made out of things which are visible. So you could look at it this way, back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it is the proof of things not seen. Okay, let me give you an example that'll help you here. You got an unsafe family member. You're really worried about him. Could be a son, could be a daughter, could be a brother, could be a sister, could be a mom, could be a dad, whatever. And you're praying about him, and all of a sudden, the invisible happens. God speaks and says, I am going to save them, and I'm going to direct you in how to reach them. That's a good word, isn't it? And what happens is you believe God. You believe him. You're like, I mean, Debbie went through a situation, and Debbie said, God spoke to me about this person, and God is going to save this person. And God's going to show me what to do in reaching this person. That's all very, very invisible. What happened? After years, but really from the time God really spoke to her, it was more a matter of months, maybe a couple years, a person was saved. The proof of things not seen. Debbie's faith gave proof. The person's there, the person's saved. You hear a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge can, you know, the Lord is speaking, that somebody's going to be, is that visible or invisible? It's, I mean, who can see it? We can't say, there's the word of knowledge floating in the sky and it's coming. No, it's invisible. But what is invisible, then faith gives proof to it when the person's healed. Are you following me? So verse 3 is an illustration of verse 1. There are some things you and I will only understand by faith. Back to verse 3. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed at God's command. Listen, that is something that comes out of the heart, not the head. And the problem is when people try to shoehorn that into their head and their mind goes, it doesn't, I can't even figure it out. Because it doesn't make sense. Some things won't make sense in your head that are very real because God said them to your heart. And faith rests in that. I didn't have to tell God, I didn't have to say to God, God, listen, I'd love to believe you on this thing, but I'm gonna look really stupid if this thing doesn't work out. And so God, you know, honestly, I gotta know where the money's coming from. God, I gotta know how this is gonna work. I gotta know, is Y2K on or off? I just gotta know, because I can't go forward unless I know, and you could tell me, and so until you tell me, I'm not doing nothing. See, that's what a lot of people do. And faith is done. At some point, and what you're trying to do, you're in the Word of God so you can hear the voice of God, so you can walk in the will and the way of God. And when you do that, that's faith. Well, as we wrap this up, let's go back, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. And it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, or in faith, things hoped for become realized. The proof of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Who are the elders? It's all the people we're going to read about. All the ancients would be a witness. All the ancient people. Who is it? It's Abel, who offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. Which is really an amazing thing. When God spoke well of his offering. How did God speak well of his offering? Well, we're going to look at that. We're going to see what happened there. It's an amazing thing. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was not. What do you mean, was not? He was gone. What? For God took him. Because he was commended as one who walked with God, one who pleased God. And so then you go on, and Noah, by faith, Noah, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Listen to this, even though he didn't know where he's going. How can you go somewhere when you don't know where you're going? How does that work? Faith. And the list goes on and on. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. It goes on and on. People who heard the voice of God, and based on what they heard that they could not see, they staked their life on it and they said, God has spoken and I'm going to believe him. And because of that, they did amazing things that still today we look at and we're marveling at and we're saying, wow, that's amazing. And it all is the life of faith. Your faith is the means by which God makes things a reality. Your faith will prove the unseen God is real. Your faith will be energized as you hear the voice of God speaking to you. How is he gonna speak? Well, he's gonna speak through his word. He's gonna speak through the still small voice. He's gonna bring together circumstances, and in your heart instantly, you're gonna know. Don't ask me how you're gonna know, but you're gonna know, and you're gonna know everything is gonna come together. I mean, that's what happened to me on the plane. God hadn't spoken yet to me, but I knew I was a different person. All of a sudden, I had a confidence I had not had for months. Where'd that come from? By faith. Unseen. And some of you today, you're in a jam, and your problem is you got to have it all laid out in front of you, and God is saying, no, that's not how it works. It's by faith. It's the invisible voice of God speaking to your heart. And when you lay hold of that, it changes your life.